You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Doubts behind, I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
Praise the Lord. Let's greet each other this morning. Give everybody a greet. And Gracie Blackwell, can you make your way forward? So we want to celebrate one of our graduates this morning, and Gracie Blackwell. And so we've got a few gifts. Miss Kim's got some gifts for you. We've got a certificate.
Thank you.
We've got a Bible in, I guess, your colors. So if you would, just go ahead and share with us what your plans are. Where are you going to school? What are you going to do? What are you going to be when you grow up?
Well, right now, I'm going to FSU and study nursing, and hopefully after that, go on and get my NP nurse practitioner license.
Yeah. Praise God. Amen. And Kim and I have known Gracie since she was born.
Mm-hmm.
And you've grown up.
I have.
You have.
Yeah.
And so Florida State, you want
yes.
them to pray for you.
Yes.
Okay. So after the service, if you could make your way forward, and any of you that'd like to come by and pray for Gracie, that would be great. Thank you, Gracie.
Thank
We're
you
proud
so much.
Of you. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Okay. So we've got several announcements that I'd like to share with you. For our seniors, our senior luncheon is this Tuesday, and our speaker is Carl Toth. He's the executive director of One More Child, which is our children's home here in Florida, and the Maker's Box. He and his wife developed it's kind of like Samaritan's Purse, only it's to disciple children, and he and his wife are going to be here. They're going to show us the boxes that they put together. And then our senior activity next week, a week from this Thursday, we'll be going to our children's home in Lakeland, and we'll be putting those together and have lunch together, and we'll present a check from our church, our Mother's Day offering for the children's homes to the president of the children's home. So we'll meet him as well. And so all of that's coming up. And if you're going to be a part of our luncheon Tuesday, if you'll see, Tom Snipes will be right behind this little greeting table right at the end of our service. So if you'll come by and see him and express your intentions to be with us Tuesday and meet Carl Toth and get some orientation for our senior trip coming up in a week and a half. And so good to see all of you. I think I want to encourage you to be a part of life groups. If you're our guest today, we want to invite you to fill this little form out and place it in the offering when it comes by. Also, our golf tournament, if you know any golfers, take the sign-up sheet with you, present it to them, and ask them if they'd like to be a part of our golf tournament. It's a fundraiser for our property. Jack Rogers and I had the opportunity to meet with a contractor with some news to share with you. I'm going to have Jack share that with you next Sunday. And so we're praising the Lord for some things that are going on. And just want to tell you we love you. Okay, Brother Rick.
Please pray with me over the offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're just thankful to be in this place, thankful for the praise team bringing us into a spirit of worship. Thank you for the message that you laid on Pastor's heart. Father, please just bless this time. Fill this room with your Holy Spirit. We have so much to be thankful for, Father, and sometimes we forget. Father, please remind us today. And thank you for our family here at First Baptist, and thank you for, personally, thank you for getting another graduate out of the Blackwell House, and more than anything, thankfully, that all three of them caught a break and look like their mother. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Ricky is going to grow up to be a United States Marine. Ricky Jr. right here. And Rick, did you tell us that you grew up singing tostadas?
No, tostadas are chips, Pastor.
I know, I'm playing
now
with you.
Now I want some.
What did you say it was?
Corritos.
Corritos. That's chips too, right?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Corritos, okay. How many of you know what a corrito is? Okay, very good. And it's praise songs, is it?
Yeah, it's like saying hymns, but in Spanish. Yeah,
okay, little hymns, okay. Little baby hymns. Do y'all also sing hers?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we want to release our children for Children's Church at this time with Miss Julia. So today I'd like to share a message with you the Lord's laid on my heart. In fact, I shared some of this with our graduating class this week. And I want to speak to you about how to extend your lives. Now, some of you may say, well, I'm already there. I mean, let's see. I think we've got one or two 96-year-olds here today. So you're definitely already there. But I'd like to share with you two things the Scripture points out that can extend your life, that can add to your life. First of all, I want to share with you James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. James 1, 5 through 7 is a passage that's influenced my life. It's been one of my most reoccurring prayers in my life. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. And so here we see in Scripture him talking about us asking God for wisdom. And he says that he's generous with it. He also says that he is not discriminatory with it, without reproach. So any person that asks with a seeking heart, an open heart, out of the 8 billion of us on planet Earth, God says that he will respond and extend wisdom and give wisdom to our life. And I do think this is one of the most important things we need. With our graduating class pointed out, we did the pledge to the mission statement for our Christian school. And part of that statement is for them to develop analytical skills and for them to be discerning in their understanding of the world based on a biblical worldview. And so this idea of wisdom and getting and sharing wisdom. If you've got your Bible, turn with me back over in the Old Testament to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And I'd like to share with you one of the most pointed illustrations of wisdom seeking and wisdom gained in the history of our world. And we see it's attributed to the man who was considered the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon. So here we see in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night and said, ask what you wish me to give you. So here's an open check from the Lord to Solomon. Then Solomon said, Thou hast shown great loving kindness to thy servant David, my father, according as he has walked before thee in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward thee. And thou hast reserved for him his great loving kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is to this day. Now, it's interesting that Solomon says this to God. He's responding in a direct conversation with God. And God is responding with him. And here Solomon describes his father, David, a man of truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart. Now, would we, if you know the history of David, would we have characterized him exactly that way? Did he not set up Uriah to be killed? Did he not also bring in Bathsheba in adultery and conceive an illegitimate child with her? He did these things. But it's interesting that he had a full repentance as described in Psalm 51. And then later, after his repentance, after his turning back to God, admitting his sin to God, God said, you are a man after my own heart. So God himself commended David. Now that should give us all great hope that no matter what happens in our life, no matter what we go through, that our gracious God will forgive us. So here's Solomon sitting on the throne of his father David, and David considered possibly the greatest king who ever lived on earth. And we see this description of him. He walked before thee in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart. And he says, And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king in the place of my father David, yet I'm but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge the great people of thine? Who's able to judge your great people? And this was very pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked for this. This is what he asked for. He asked for wisdom. He asked for understanding. He asked for discernment. And God said to him, Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for yourself long life, nor ask riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment, or King James wisdom, to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. And I've also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you in your days. And if you walk in my ways, that's a big question, if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. So here we see a prayer for one thing, really, for wisdom. And I would like to ask every one of you as members of First Baptist Church of Stuart, everyone watching, anyone listening, anyone that's influenced by this at all, I'd like to ask you to try to attempt on a daily basis to pray for God to give you wisdom. At least sometime during the day, oh God, please grant me wisdom. Oh dear Lord, please give me understanding. Father, please give me discernment. And this could be for all the decisions of life, but even more importantly, as a general condition of your life, that you seek wisdom from God. Now, I'd like for us to walk back through this a little bit and look at some of the circumstances that related to Solomon that brought him to the point where he made a request that pleased God, that God was pleased with him and what he asked for. First of all, wisdom begins with gratitude toward God. And we see that in verses 5 and 6. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon, ask what you will, and then he rehearses his thanksgiving to God. You have shown great loving kindness to me, Lord. This is what Solomon says. And so I'd like to encourage everyone here, let's start off with saying, Lord, I know you love me. I know you love me. Now, I mean, in the last months, probably last couple of years or so, I've gone in and out of feeling a heaviness about our country, the world, what's coming. And because of that, actually, the request has been made from one of our life group classes, and I'm going to bring a series of messages on prophecy starting next week and share some prophecy messages with you, except for Father's Day. I mean, we could prophesy something about fathers, but we won't. So we'll just do a traditional Father's Day in the middle. But I'm going to bring some messages to you about prophecy. And I'm a believer because of empirical evidence. I'm a believer, it's faith, yes, but it's faith in verifiable truth, verifiable evidence. And we're going to look at that over the next few weeks. And so here we see that Solomon's grateful to God. He's thank you that you love me, Lord. You've got this hesed, this loving kindness, this covenant love toward me. According as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness, your servant David, in uprightness of heart to thee, and thou hast reserved for him this great loving kindness that you've let his son sit on his throne. And so we see an attitude of gratitude in Solomon. We see a gratefulness in Solomon that he is grateful to God. And let's develop that in our lives on a daily basis. Now, one of the things that can happen that can wedge us between our loving kindness with God, our gratefulness to God, is when our heart hardens. This is when we're angry. This is when we carry grudges. This is when our life hardens on us. And we all have to fight that. In fact, Scripture says, and this will be an element of prophecy, that in the last days, you know, terrible times will come. And it says that people's hearts will harden as they see the things going on. And that can happen. I know some of you have told me, I don't watch the news anymore, you say, because it just grieves me so much. And it's so much consternation. We have worries that other generations have not had. All the way to our youngers, to those that are in school that are so enslaved to the internet and to the likes on Facebook or Twitter or what X now. And they're so ingrained to the approval of their peers. And cyberbullying is a real thing. And there's so many worries and so many cares and so many concerns that wedge us. And our nation is wedged. We're wedged over many things. And there's these wedge issues coming in between what used to be one nation under God. And so we need to look at these things. We need to be discerning. We need to have an understanding. But it needs to begin with a gratitude toward God, a thank you toward God. I've been riding my bike because an old medical doctor started riding, he and his wife riding their bikes to live longer. I saw this in a documentary about longevity and life. And they started riding their kids' bikes, and then they graduated from that and bought some real nice bikes. And then they started riding with all the medical staff they had that were working with them. And there was about 25 of them that were riding on a regular basis, and they were putting in quite a bit of mileage. And then they all noticed that they all fell off their meds. all of their osteoporosis and a lot of the other maladies they had in their mobility and all these other things begin to correct. And so I've started riding a bike. In fact, the last few days I've said, Kim, are my legs looking better? You know, then I'm riding a bike, you know. And one of the things I've done, because it can be monotonous, especially if you ride the same route over and over and over again, is to rehearse my gratitude to God and to say, what am I thankful for? Well, I'm thankful that I can ride this bike. I'm thankful I've got a bike. I'm thankful for this sunny day in South Florida. I'm thankful that this is a flat road. When we were in Haiti, I didn't take two steps in a row that were even or balanced. It was a maneuver to walk from here to there. And so I'm grateful for that. Then I'm grateful for Kim. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm especially grateful for my grandkids. And on and on and on and on. And rehearsing our gratitude to God and being thankful. And so we see Solomon had this in his heart and in his life. And he's rehearsing this with God. Secondly, wisdom is given by God to someone with a humble, seeking heart. It says in Scripture that God resists the proud in the book of James, but gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. He stands against the proud. We do that too as a people. If we perceive someone to be proud, we have a tendency to close ourselves off from them, to step away from them. Well, God says he resists the proud. He's looking for the humble. In verses 7 and 8, he says, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king. I mean, he didn't have this vaunty attitude. You've got a real deal with me, Lord. I'm the wisest man who ever lived on earth. What a deal you've got that I'm willing to serve you. You know, no. He had this humble heart, thy servant king in place of my father David, yet I'm but a little child. Well, he actually was not a child at this point. But he's saying, I'm childlike. When I started praying this and I was trying to emulate Solomon, I started praying. I said, Lord, I'm just dumb sheep. Please, Lord, share your wisdom with me. Share your knowledge and understanding with me. Help me to understand. So he says, I'm your servant. I'm your child. I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. So he's saying, I really don't know the fundamentals. I don't even know how to get around compared to you, God, which is absolutely true. And in your heart, let me ask you, do you think God's getting a good deal when he got you? Now, I don't want to degrade you, but do you think, boy, I'm really something and he got a good one with me? I used to hear that in Memphis all the time. If God would only save Elvis Presley, the whole world would get saved. Of course, that was years ago, and Elvis was the hot item. And of course, he did claim Christ from his Tupelo, Mississippi background and struggled, you know, in a lot of ways. And I believe we'll probably see Elvis in heaven. But I never thought that if Elvis got just radically evangelistic, that all of Memphis, Tennessee, the United States, and the world would come to Christ. And here we see Solomon saying, I'm just a humble servant. I'm just a little child. And I don't even know how to get around. I don't even know how to maneuver. And then he says, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So he said, not only am I naive, not only am I unlearned and untrained, but I've got the responsibility for a multitude. For a multitude. So we can see the weight that's resting on Solomon, and yet his humble attitude toward God. Number three, wisdom is given to someone with an understanding heart in verse 9. So give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge the great people of thine? to understand things, to connect the dots, to make the connection. Kim and I just started watching, we're binging, it's a kind of an older show that was on for 7 seasons called Elementary. It's a current Sherlock Holmes. And the Watson in it is actually Lucy Liu, the Oriental actress. And at first I thought, there's no way I'm watching a Sherlock Holmes when Watson is a girl, you know. But it is so well thought out. And Kim and I watch it to see if we can figure it out, which that's what we all do with detective shows and everything else. We try to figure them out. Who done it? Who did it? Who clubbed them with the candlestick, you know, and that type of thing. But it's fascinating the unusual ways and the brilliant ways they do things in this. The idea of understanding is to be able to look past the superficial and to connect the dots. I would encourage everyone here, all of us, not to be spoon-fed. Now, Gracie's going off to college to FSU. She's going to have some good professors. She's going to have some bad professors. And she's going to be going to a school like all of our state schools that basically is underwritten by evolution in the biological department, which is a farce. It's secular religion. Evolution is secular religion. And I just want to encourage her, as I've encouraged all of our other students, to make a stand and to challenge things. I had the privilege to do that as a baby Christian at Northwest Junior College in Senatobia, Mississippi. And I challenged some of the things the professor said. And afterwards, students would come up and gather around and say, I agree with what you're saying. I believe the Bible. And you can strengthen others. But we need to stand for truth no matter what. We're all intimidated. We're at this stage now in the country. We're passing over the Rubicon. We're passing over. We'll look at that when we get into prophecy. But we need to take a stand for truth. And we need to have an understanding heart. We need to be able to work with those tools to be able to understand and see the things that are around us, the realities, the truthful realities. Number four, wisdom requests, please God. When we ask Him for wisdom, it pleases Him. He loves it when we approach and we say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know anything. One of my favorite stories that relates to that is Paul at Mars Hill debating the philosophers. These people went all day long, 12, 14 hours a day, every day, to debate wisdom, sophistry, philosophy, science, whatever they could, religion, and they did it all day long, every day. They were professional students. They were like these people that go to our universities that never leave. They work on degrees for 8, 10, 12 years. They never launch. Well, these philosophers were like that. And so Paul went to witness to them. And he stood before them, and he shared with them what Dr. Don Richardson calls a redemptive analogy. While he was there at Mars Hill, they had an old altar that had been built a century or two before that was in disrepair. It was crumbling. You could pick vines and weeds all over it. But the inscription was still legible in Greek, to the unknown God. And so Paul knew the history of all these things. He was a brilliant man. And he stood there and he said, let me tell you the history of this altar. Over 100 years ago, there's an epidemic, there's a blight that came down on your people, and it was killing thousands. And Epimenides, the great philosopher, stood up and said, you know, we need to make an appeal to God. And so they made their pagan appeals, and nothing happened. It didn't abate you know, the epidemic as it swept through. So finally, Epimenides got up and he said, I want everyone to meet me here tomorrow in these lush green pastures and bring your best of your flocks. And so they listened to him. And so they met out there and he stood up and he said, we need to acknowledge to God that there's one true God above the ones we've been talking to, and we don't know who he is. And we need to acknowledge before him, humble ourselves, and admit our ignorance, and respond to him. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to offer him the best of our flocks in the first thing in the morning. So he got up, and he led them in this. And he said, oh God, the unknown God, the God of all gods, the God that we don't know, we want to ask you to forgive our impudence, our sinfulness, our ignorance, our pride. And we want to ask you, oh God, among these flocks, to choose the offering that you want from them. Now, one of the things is flocks of sheep, rams, goats, sheep, these types of animals early in the morning never lay down because they're grazing the dew-laden grass, and it's not only eating but drinking because they're getting moisture from this wet grass. And so these flocks are out there grazing like crazy, and Epimenides makes this prayer. And after he makes this prayer, all of a sudden the largest two or three rams of the whole flock lay down on their side. And then two or three more over here, five over here, and 50 of them lay down all over the field. And he said, Lord, we accept that these are the ones you've chosen. They butchered them. They offered them to God as a burnt sacrifice. And immediately the plague stopped. So Paul used that, and then he won the philosophers to Christ. He filled in the blanks for him. He connected the dots. He had wisdom from God, and it was based on acknowledging their ignorance. It was based on their confession of their need. So God promises also next riches, honor, and a long life to those who seek wisdom. If you'll look with me at the last of our passage. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. Wisdom and obedience to God produces a long life. It preserves us. My years in going and visiting different churches when I've in the past preached revivals, Bible conferences, I've done a few of those, speaking to the people that have come through here in South Florida in 32 years, my first church, other churches, us visiting churches on vacation, the churches I grew up in, I've noticed that people that worship God are like in a time capsule. They do stay younger. There is a preservation to worshiping God and honoring him and living for him. People that live with a clear conscience, their faces look so much better. Years ago, the comedian Charlie Callis, I don't know if you remember him, he was a dried up little old comedian. He was hilarious. And one time he did this little skit that he did, and he said he was being interviewed by this interview, and he said, sir, how have you lived so long? How have you lived such a long life? What are the keys to your longevity? And he said, every morning, two-pack cigarettes. I smoke two packs of cigarettes every day. You know, you do this mumbling thing. And then he said, well, is there anything else? Yes. Every morning, one bottle of tequila every day. And he goes on, you know, with him for a little bit. And he says, well, sir. And he's all crunched over. And he says, how old are you? 39. 39 years old. And you can see that. I mean, you can watch people if they live a hard life, an addicted life. If they live those kind of lives, you can see how it draws them down. You can see that sin is hard and sin ages you. And living for God, obeying Him, clear conscience, seeking to do righteous things and seeking to live for the Lord can preserve you. Worshiping God like we did a little bit ago, singing to Him, our tortilla songs, you know, singing and worshiping God, you know, can make our lives stronger and make us live a more powerful life. Next, I would like for you to look at another thing that comes out in relationship to Scripture. And this is the whole idea of wisdom. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. And this, I've never seen this before in my entire life. And it popped up in my devotions in the last couple of weeks. And I mean, it just, this was a big dot connector for me with God. And even this idea of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. The Lord possessed me. This is wisdom speaking as a person. This is the personification of wisdom. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. From everlasting I was established. From the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth, when there were no oceans, I was brought forth. When there were no springs or rivers abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills, I was brought forth. While He had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first day of the world, first dust of the world. When He established the heavens, I was there. When He inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. When He made firm the skies above. When the springs of the deep became fixed, when He set for the sea its boundary, so that the water should not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him as a master workman. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the world His earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Here we see wisdom as described as a speaking person. But wisdom is describing its genesis. Wisdom is describing its beginning. And it's interesting that, and I was going to start with this, but I can't now, but I was going to ask you, what is the very first thing that God created? What is the very first thing God created? The heavens and the earth? No, it's not. This says the very first thing that God created was wisdom. And I've thought about this a lot. I've been trying to expand my thoughts about, we've talked about this, the universe. Now, I brought a questionable sermon on UFOs. And not that I advocate them. I don't believe in them. But in fact, that exact opposite. But as I've thought about the ever-expanding universe, the universe is expanding at the speed of light. That means if you could travel at the speed of light, you would never, ever get to the end of it now that it exists. But let's go back before there was a universe. Let's go back before there was oceans and mountains and hills like He's talking about here. And He's talking about before the heavens, the atmosphere around the earth and the celestial heavens, before there was the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe. What was there before? We cannot say that this material universe is infinite. Material is not infinite. The material world. In fact, it flies in the face of all the laws, the second law of thermodynamics, decomposition, and others, the laws of energy. And so it flies in the face of all we know of that physical things last forever. So let's go back before there was a universe. What was there? There was only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triunity, three gods in one person, and that's all there was in existence. What was that like? Well, there was the Shekinah glory of God, the light, the radiance of God's Shekinah glory around the Trinity, if you will, like a bubble. And then there was, from that point on, however that extended, whatever that meant, outside of that was darkness. Now, it's interesting that light has mass. Light is a physical thing. But darkness is not. Darkness is nothing. Darkness is the absence of light. So here we have God, the triunity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Greek word, or the Hebrew word, Elohim is plural. I am is S, El is God. The Shekinah power, the ultimate God in plurality. And they call it a plurality of majesty. So here he is, his Shekinah glory, and the very first thing he created was wisdom. That's what this passage says, and I think it's truthful. How many of you believe this passage? Raise your hands. This is the first thing he created. Before there was the physical universe. And on it goes down. And then it says that in verse 30, that he used wisdom as his tools. God created wisdom, and then God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit used wisdom as tools to create the universe. So this wisdom, this tool of wisdom, and if you look through this, you see words that refer to measuring and setting out, and the idea of planning, verse 23, established, and these types of things. Established occurs several times. And so God invented wisdom. He created wisdom, and then he used wisdom to create the universe. And this is where intelligent design is absolutely what we see around us. That everything, there could be no science if this was not intelligently designed and in order. You couldn't measure anything if it was immeasurable. There's one science fiction show on now, and the aliens are coming, and I don't believe in aliens. This is an illustration, but the aliens are coming, and the first thing they've done is they have confused the laws of science on Earth to confound the scientists, because they said that humans got to the nuclear age much faster than they did. And even though they're 300 years away, traveling twice the speed of light, it's going to take them 300 years to get to Earth. They said by the time we get there in our evolution, we will be way past where they are, and we will destroy them when they get here. So they confuse the laws, and scientists start committing suicide because none of their tests are working anymore. A foot's no longer 12 inches. You know, and on it goes. Freezing is not at the proper temperature any longer, and all of this. And so this world is measurable because of an intelligent God who did it that way. And I think this is really exciting. And so we see this aspect of wisdom. Finally, the last thing, to add length to our lives, God extends the life of those who honor their parents. And we see that in Exodus 20:12, in the giving of the Ten Commandments. In verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. We see a reiteration of that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Jesus, two times, instructed everyone to honor their parents, honor their father and mother. I just want to encourage y'all. Now, some of you will say, well, my parents have been long gone for decades. You know, I can't honor them anymore. Kim and I, all four of our parents are gone. Both of us have siblings. I've got a brother, sister. She's got a brother, sister. And God in his sovereignty chose Kim and I to give the primary care to all four of our parents in the last days of their life. And so we believe that we're going to live to about 120 each. But there is something to say. My father, some of you are at the picnic when he fell over at the park and broke his hip. And at that point, he had to go into rehab for the rest of his life, and he was there a couple of years. I went to visit him every day. I might have missed one day a month, but I'd go see him, and I took some of you with me to go see him. And I had some of our members say, Pastor, you know, that's neat that you're going every day, but you don't have to go every day. And I said, I want to show my children how to treat us when we're older. Now, I don't know if they got the lesson or not. Maybe I should give them a test. But Kim and I both, Kim was holding her father's hand. I was in the master bedroom in bed. She was holding her father's hand, singing hymns to him when he died. And we have no regrets. We have no regrets. And you may say, well, your parents were good parents, and they were. All four of them were good parents. And I've got a scoundrel for a mother or a scoundrel for a dad or whatever. Well, those are the parents that God gave you. And you can honor them even if they're not honorable. You can respect them. You can forgive them even if they aren't asking for forgiveness. For your health, for your benefit, for your longevity, for the productivity of your life, your heart, your spirit, you need to forgive them, and you need to honor them. And he says, of all the Ten Commandments, only one of them has a promise. This one. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long on the earth. So here's two things. Here's homework for you. And you say, well, I don't have any parents to honor. Well, teach your grandkids to honor you. Teach your kids to honor you. Teach your kids and tell them, say, you need to treat me right so these ones behind you will treat you right. And this will be a good example for them. This is a good teaching point with your kids and your grandkids. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you for the privilege to look into your word. We thank you for the wisdom you impart to us. I want to ask you, please, dear God, for everyone sitting here today, that you would give every one of us wisdom from above. That, dear God, you would give us discernment and understanding. Dear God, that you would please, in each of our lives, help us to be discerning. And Father, for those here that aren't your children yet, that aren't adopted yet, that haven't received you yet, I ask you to open their hearts now, and I'd like to invite you to just say, oh, dear Lord, please cleanse me and forgive me and come into my life and live within me and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you so much for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to sing now. I want to invite you to respond to God today and do business with him. And maybe he's speaking to your heart about baptism, church membership. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you've got a praise, something you are thankful for that you want to thank him for. We'd love to share that with you. We want to invite you to come as God speaks to your heart. Let's stand together and sing. Please be seated. Cheryl came forward. As you know, Cheryl went through just a harrowing physical time in her life, health-wise, and God heard our prayers. She was hospitalized, heard her prayers, and she's just overflowing with gratitude. She wanted me to share that for you. Thank you for praying for her. Let's give Cheryl a hand. Amen. I want to ask Gracie, Allie, David, if you'll come stand here, and I want you, after the service, come by and pray for our graduate. Gracie, is it okay if they pray for you? Do you want to make straight A's at college?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay, we'll pray for that for her. Amen. So come by and see her and pray for her. And I do need a little bit of help for our luncheon Tuesday. If a few of you guys could stack these front three rows and roll out some round tables for us. Mario, can you help us do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, see Mario. And then see Tom Snipes if you intend to be a part of our luncheon Tuesday. And I do want to encourage you to come. You need to hear Carl Toth. I think he'll really bless your heart. And we're going to have a great time together. So let's stand together. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
You are creator, you are sustainer.